Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Still to come today, should the city of New York discourage driving or try to make it as pleasant as possible? That'll be issue number 26 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series. And we're collecting your Lou Reed moments. Listen up. If you were moved at any point in your life by Lou Reed music, post your remembrances of a Lou Reed song or how the iconic New York rocker affected you in general, or even about meeting him. Maybe you played music with him or had an encounter with him somewhere. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show and post your Lou Reed moment. Then we'll take some on the air, too, later in the show. But right now, some of you have likely been hearing some of the StoryCorps pieces that are running on Morning Edition to celebrate the project's 10-year anniversary. There's also a new book out called Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps, their latest book. Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, joins me now in the studio to play some great stories. Hi, Dave. Congratulations on a decade.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you so much. I can't believe it's been a decade.
Well, it all kind of started here, right? So we were you were our first radio partner, and it's pretty quick.
And I was so proud back then that you invited me to do the inaugural StoryCorps interview of Studs Terkel at the late Studs Terkel at your old Grand Central Terminal booth. And I'm just so gratified to see the impact that you've had on enabling Americans all over the country, as well as here in New York, where it all started, to tell their stories.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully we're just getting started.
And there are so many great stories in this collection. So we chose three around a theme that we noticed in the book, that there are bonds between not just the people who you think of as going to StoryCorps. An adult child and their aging parent might be the classic one, right? But also between perfect strangers and how some people we barely know at first can have this huge impact on our lives. So let's just jump into the first one. This is between Adeline Rocco and Zachariah Fike. And the story is about a Purple Heart medal that Zachariah's mom had found in an antique shop and given him. And he goes to find the soldier, and who he finds is his sister, Adeline Rocco, who can hardly believe it.
I flooded him with questions, bang, 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 one right after the other.
What antique shop? Who are you? She was very stern.
After the conversation ended, I walked away from the phone and I says, oh my God, he's so nice and he's returning our medal. And I treated him this way, so I called you right back again and apologized and thanked you then. Now this medal was very precious to my parents. And on special occasions, they would take it out and let us touch it and hold it in our hand. And then my mother would put it back in the trunk in her bedroom. And for a while, I thought, well, what's the significance of this medal? But as I grew older and missed my brother more and more, I realized, well, this is the only tangible thing that we have left. So I drove up to Watertown and met with you at your home.
Yeah, at that point, I knew you meant business. I mean, to drive 8 hours to come see me.
That night when you brought the medal down from your bedroom and I saw it was in the very same box that I had last seen it in, I knew it was in good hands. And then you brought down your Purple Heart medal.
Yep, I was wounded in Afghanistan.
And we got to know each other pretty well.
We together have talked about planning a trip to Italy and maybe walk some of the ground that your brother would have walked during the war.
I would like to make that trip, really. We were very fortunate that you were the one who ended up with a Purple Heart, and you're part of our family now.
Dave, that's an amazing story and a great example, since that, like all the StoryCorps exchanges, is going to be archived permanently in the Library of Congress.
Yeah, I've been on book tour, and I had the privilege of meeting both Adeline and Captain Fike in different venues. And you know, one of the great things about being on tour is when you meet these folks who are in these StoryCorps stories, they're even more amazing than they seem in these radio clips, which makes me know we're doing something right. Captain Fike, since this thing was broadcast, has gotten something like 100 Purple Heart sent to him, and now he's a full-time military person, but in the evenings on the weekends he drives in his car all over the country reuniting people with their Purple Hearts. And this, you know, this is a book about people bringing and he's an amazing guy, sleeps in the car, he's got a 6-week-old baby. This is a book about — we wanted to get to the core of StoryCorps, and many times when we opened StoryCorps, you know, people didn't know what we were doing, and there were enough slots. People could get slots. Now it's very difficult to get a slot, and people are very careful about who they bring. And it's often that person who's been most important in their life. And as you said, sometimes it's someone who's a stranger.
And in this case, it sounds like being on StoryCorps, this public radio thing that you invented, there's the feedback that he got from having his story told publicly inspired this man to do what he did for this family, return a Purple Heart, over and over and over again.
Yeah, he says that he just had a kid, as I said, and he's got so many moms now. He said he's got knitted stuff going up to the ceiling in his apartment.
And I've read that you initially weren't sure if any of the material from the StoryCorps booths would even be suitable for radio, and you were going to do it anyway as, you know, a project in the world, but you weren't sure whether they would work on air?
Well, you know, you were our guinea pig, right? So I thought we might have 6 months of stories and then they'd start to repeat. But you know, StoryCorps has always been about giving those two people the chance to have a conversation, a booth. We've done 50,000 of these now with about 100,000 people. And whatever we broadcast is kind of a wonderful corollary off the core mission, which is giving people the chance to have these conversations, to sit with a loved one in this very kind of unreality TV way, you know, where no one's looking to get rich, no one's looking to get famous. It's just an act of generosity and love, listening to someone, asking them who they are, what they've learned, and, you know, having this conversation that goes to the Library of Congress.
David, I say our special guest, who went from being a public radio documentary producer to the founder of StoryCorps. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey public radio. And Dave's new book is Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. And here's another piece that relates to this connection between strangers. This is Felix Aponte and Robert Sanchez. How'd they meet? You want to set this up?
Sure. Rob Sanchez is a guy who spent, I don't know what it was, 20 years behind bars under the Rockefeller drug laws. He was a first-time offender. He got out as a young man, completely had never done drugs, was completely reformed, became a drug counselor and a counselor for ex-offenders. And he met Felix Aponte, who was kind of a rough kid, and was counseling him. They kind of kept in touch. Felix really loved Rob. And at some point, a couple of years after he had worked with Felix, Felix called Rob and said, "How you doing?" And Rob said, "Well, not so well. I'm going to die. I don't have a kid. I need a kidney." And Felix, this kid, both of whom came out of the penitentiary together, weren't serving time at the same time. Rob had been a mentor to Felix, and Felix gave him his kidney.
Wow. And we'll hear Felix first in this clip.
I could tell off the back that he's just going to tell me the truth. He's not going to beat around the bush. And me and him click because, you know, once you do time, it's like
there's a bond.
Yeah.
So when I got hit with the kidney disease, I was sick. I had no job. I was lonely. And then Felix called me.
We were talking for a while and you told me that you had kidney disease. I was like, but you don't got nobody that'll donate. So, you know, here I am. I'm in good health. Plus, I wanted to do something good in my life for the first time. You know, all I've done is, like, mischief and
start trouble.
Well, I don't start trouble. Trouble finds me.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
I was like, what's up? So what about me? You think I could get tested? I mean, like, I got mad tattoos, so I don't know if I could donate. So then you were like, yeah, right, whatever. All right, Felix. And then you just kept on brushing it off. And I kept on telling you.
The day that I believed it was the day that we went in for our last checkup. And we're sitting down, and Felix has a Plaxico Burris jersey on, and they're checking me and they're checking Felix, and Felix looked up and said, "Look, I want to do this." That's when I knew that it was on. And sometimes when I'll play the Mega Millions, I'll play the Mega Millions, and you don't know this, and I lose, I'm okay with it because I felt like I won already because he saved my life. What greater gift is that? That was my $1 million.
Robert Sanchez and Felix Aponte, who met in prison, and one donated a kidney to the other, and they recorded their story in conversation with each other, as you heard a little piece of there at StoryCorps. That's so moving. I was getting chills listening to that. And, Dave, they're not the kinds of folks who usually, you know, crack the curtain onto the media at all. People who've been in prison, regular guys, not to mention that one donated a kidney to the other.
Well, you know, you, as you said, you did the interview with Studs Terkel 10 years ago last week. And when Studs cut the ribbon on our booth, he said, you know, we know who the architect of Grand Central Terminal was, but who laid these floors, who built these walls? You know, and we've been – he, you know, laid down the mandate that we record the stories of regular everyday people from all over the country. And we've, you know, worked heart and soul to do that. You know, I listen to that story and I think about the last 10 years. And I mean, if I could – if it's changed me in any way in one sentence, I mean, I think it's – it's made me more hopeful about people, about this country, because these are the kind of stories that you find when you take the time to listen and you open up the mic and you give people a chance to, you know, talk to the people who matter in their lives. And you will find these stories of kindness and courage and decency all around when you take the time to listen.
Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, a book that's some of the collected stories from their first 10 years, is out. Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. And here's one more piece about the importance of strangers. This is a father and son, so obviously they're not strangers. But the story is about a third person. Here are Marvin and Eric Goldstein, and you'll hear Marvin, the father, speak first.
The windows at that time did not have window guards. I leaned out, and I had one hand on the window inside, and the other hand I was leaning out and let go. And I fell 5 stories. Sal Moriello, who was a barber, was coming home early that day, and he heard a woman scream. She pointed up to the window, and he took off his coat, and I fell into his arms.
Is that what happened? I mean, he took his jacket off and he used his jacket as a bit of a net to catch you?
Yes. Good thing it was a good catch. So I fractured my nose, but there was no trauma. And I became very popular in the neighborhood. My mother's name was Blanche, and I was known as Blanche's son who fell out of the window.
So whatever happened to Sal? I mean, he's the patron saint Sal. He's our hero.
Well, it turned out that his daughter was a reporter, and every Passover holiday, he would say, "I wonder what happened to Marvin Goldstein." So finally she said, "Dad, let's see if we could find out." And so what happened was we met, and it was absolutely thrilling to see Sal. We hugged, we kissed, and it was a glorious reunion.
I remember that because it was on my birthday, April 24th, 1988. And I got a copy of the Daily News, and there was a picture on the cover of you and Sal, and headline, "Catch."
We went to the building where I fell out from the window, and he caught me. And he told Mom and I that he kept the jacket with the blood from my nose. He never cleaned it, and he kept it in his closet. His wife said that this was one of the most important days in his life. And I said, well, his being there for me, of course, was one of the most important days in my life. And he was just so, so happy that we were together again.
Marvin and Eric Goldstein from the StoryCorps booth, remembering the importance of a stranger in their family's life.
A story from Williamsburg, nonetheless.
That building that he fell out of was yeah. in Williamsburg,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Incredible. So we just have 30 seconds left. Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, that's one of the stories that you can find in Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. Where do you think you'll be 10 years from now?
I hope we're going to keep going. And if I only have a couple of seconds, I also want to do a plug and just say, if it wasn't for stations like WNYC, shows like Brian's show, StoryCorps wouldn't be. So please pick up the phone and become a member. I know we're in membership drive. It's so important.
nice of you to say, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come on the show today, should the city of New York discourage driving or try to make it as pleasant as possible? It will be an issue for the next mayor. We'll take your calls. And we're still collecting your Lou Reed moments. Post your remembrances of a Lou Reed song or how the iconic New York rocker who died yesterday at age 71 affected you in general or specifically. And we'll take some Lou Reed moments on the air, too, later in the show. But post them right now to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.